Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, there is a familiar song that we sing each year at Christmas time. You probably know it. The song is Silent Night. But did you know that the first time that it was ever performed, it was actually performed with a guitar? So the year was 1818. A small church in the Austrian Alps was preparing for its annual candlelight service. But their organ had broken, and there wasn't enough time to fix it before the service. The church had a young priest by the name of Joseph Moore, and Father Moore knew that without an instrument, the service would fall flat. But then he remembered a poem that he had written a couple of years earlier about the humble circumstances and the peace of the nativity scene. So he contacted his friend, Franz Gruber, who was a local school teacher at the time. He shared the poem with him, and Gruber quickly set the poem to music, and the two of them performed the song Silent Night together at the candlelight service, with Gruber accompanying Moore on the guitar. Little did they know that this song that was born out of simple moment of necessity, that it would become one of the most beloved Christmas carols of all time. So this morning, as we launch into this Advent season, we're beginning a new series titled Christmas Playlist, because this is what I know to be true. The Christmas season is more than just the decorations and the presents. This Christmas season is most assuredly marked by its music. Anybody already started listening to Christmas music? All right. Anybody before Thanksgiving, you started listening to Christmas music? All right. I'm okay with that. I listened to it before Thanksgiving as well. Now, as we think about this song, Silent Night, we're reminded that sometimes the most beautiful things come out of the simplest and most unexpected places. And that's really what the Advent season reminds us of as well. Now, that word Advent simply means the coming. I remind you of that every year. But the Advent season, it is a reminder for us of the coming of the greatest gift that this world has ever received. And while because of the prophecies, the coming of Christ was greatly anticipated, still the circumstances of his birth were very simple and unexpected. And so leading up to this celebration of his coming, I want us to look at several passages over the course of these next few weeks. And as we look at these passages, these are songs or near songs that are going to help us to remember why we celebrate Christmas every single year. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got my own Christmas favorites. I have my own songs that I like to go back to every year. These are songs that for me, they are worthy to be on replay. So I want you to hear me this morning. These songs that we're going to look at throughout the course of this series, these reminders that we're going to see, these truths are worthy to be on replay in our lives. Certainly, they're worthy to be on replay during the Advent and Christmas season, but they also contain great reminders that are worthy to be carried with us every single day of the year. So let me say that again. These truths are worthy to be on replay in our lives. And this first song that we're going to look at, it's born out of a simple and very unexpected announcement to a young Mary. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 39 through 56 this morning. This should be a familiar passage to many of you. This is a passage that we've looked at before, Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. Prior to our passage, we see that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to give her the big news that she was going to become pregnant with Jesus. And specifically in verse 35, Gabriel tells Mary that the child that she's going to become pregnant with would be called the Son of God. Now, because we are so familiar with this Christmas story, because this is a passage that we've looked at before, because we know that Jesus came into this world, and because Jesus is the Son of God, we may not think too much about this announcement. But I want you to understand the weight of this announcement. In the Jewish culture, to be called the son of someone meant that you were equal to them. For example, the child of a king would be revered just as highly as the king himself. If you were to encounter the prince, if you were to encounter the child of a king, you would treat the son of the king with great regard. You would revere him merely because of his name and because of his bloodline. He's able to share in his father's greatness. So for the angel to tell Mary that the child that she was going to become pregnant with would be called the Son of God would immediately indicate to Mary that she was going to become pregnant with someone who was completely equal to God, which is our first indication in the Christmas story that God was becoming flesh. Understand, Jesus, God the Son, is God in flesh. Now, understand, God the Father is not the one that became a man, nor is the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is made up of three equal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it is Jesus, God the Son, who put on flesh and bones, stepped out of heaven to become one of us. Jesus, God the Son, is God in flesh. He did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped or something to be held on to. Rather, he humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant. And he became a man so that he could go to the cross to be our Savior. Jesus, God the Son, is God in flesh. And so as we see this promise from God spoken to Mary through the angel Gabriel, we then see in Mary's response in verse 38, she says, "May it happen to me as you have said." Other translations simply say, "Let it be." In other words, Mary believed this word that had come to her, and there was this agreement and submission to the will of God. Listen to me this morning. That should be our heart's desire every single day. Our desire should be to live with both an agreement and a submission to the will of God. That no matter what the Lord is calling us to, whether we understand it or not, our desire should be to live with both an agreement and a submission to the will of God. Now, from a very practical standpoint, what this means for the believer is that we live with an agreement and a submission to the Word of God. Because understand, God has revealed His will to us in His Word. Now, the temptation for us may be to only agree and submit to the parts of God's Word that we like. The temptation for us may be to to agree and submit to the parts of God's word that don't step, it doesn't step on our toes, or it doesn't call us out of our sin. It lets us keep living how we want to. That could be the temptation. But listen, if our desires don't line up with the word of God, if our will doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's our hearts that need to change. So that we can have the same attitude that Mary had. So that when it comes to the will of God, we would say, let it be. Let it be. Anybody else want to listen to the Beatles right now? Let it be. All right. So with that in mind, let's read Luke 1, 39 through 56. It says, in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months, then she returned to her home. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there in verses 39 and 40. Following this announcement from the angel Gabriel, Mary quickly set out on her way to go see Elizabeth. Now, just prior to our passage, not only did the angel Gabriel tell Mary that she was going to become pregnant with Jesus, but the angel also told Mary that Elizabeth was already pregnant with John. And so as we see Mary set out to go see Elizabeth, certainly I'm sure there was some excitement in this. It's always exciting when you get the news that someone is pregnant. There's excitement in sharing in that pregnancy and in that birth. And so there's some excitement in this, but there could also be this possibility that Mary was going to see Elizabeth to confirm what the angel had said to her. Because if it's true that Elizabeth was already pregnant, and if Mary could see that Elizabeth was already pregnant with John, then it would also confirm what the angel had spoken to her, that she also was going to be pregnant with Jesus. So understand, we should be satisfied in our faith by the word of God, but we can be strengthened in our faith by the works of God. We can, and we absolutely should, take God at his word, and by faith walk in obedience to God. However, when we have evidence of God coming through for us in past circumstances, this certainly is going to strengthen our faith. You know, when we started this building project for our youth and children's building across the street a little more than a year and a half ago, Certainly, as we think about raising that $850,000 in such a short amount of time and in the economy that we've been in for the last few years, certainly that was a step of faith on our part. And quite honestly, as your pastor, that was a step of faith on my part as well to lead you in that. But I was also able to look at past evidence of God providing for me, providing for my family in the past. And I was also able to look at past evidence of God coming through for us in building funds in our previous church. And so I was able to look at the works of God, and it strengthened me in my faith so that I would be obedient to the will of God. So let me say it again. We should be satisfied in our faith by the Word of God, but we can be strengthened in our faith by the works of God. So it could be that Mary was going not only out of excitement, but maybe also to go and confirm what the angel had spoken to her. But it may have also been that Mary wanted to go and see someone who would understand what she was going through. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for just a moment. Not many people would be able to understand an angel appearing to them and bringing this announcement of a miraculous birth. But if it's true that Elizabeth was pregnant in her late age with her first child, then she certainly would understand a miraculous pregnancy. So let me pause right here and say this. It is good to have someone who can understand you. It's good to have someone who can understand you. So this last week, our family, we spent the week with my parents in Texas City. And many of you know this already. My wife is a first grade teacher here in Stockdale. My parents were also teachers. After my dad pastored this church, he actually went into teaching. He became a French teacher and French professor. And so anytime we get together as a family, inevitably there are stories that are shared between my parents and Sarah about teaching, right? Stories that only they can understand, stories that I can't fully understand. Because teachers understand teachers. And this is really true in every profession. Pastors understand pastors. That's why once a month I get together with the other pastors in town and we have lunch or we have breakfast together and we simply talk and we pray with one another because pastors understand pastors. It's good to have someone who can understand you. So this is what happened when Jesus came into the world. God provided for all of us someone who understands us. Now, this is not to say that God could not fully understand us apart from coming into this world. He absolutely could because He's God. He absolutely could understand us. But by becoming a man, by putting on flesh, by living in this world, by facing the same temptations that we face every single day, God communicated something to us very clearly. This is what I want you to know this morning. Jesus understands you. This is not a new truth. This is something I've shared before, but is a good reminder for us. Jesus understands you. It is good to have someone who can understand you. And even if you feel like no one else in this world understands you, hear this again. Jesus does. Jesus understands you. So Mary ran off to see Elizabeth out of excitement, maybe to confirm what the angel had said, maybe in order to be with someone who would understand her. But then what we see in verses 46 through 55 is that after arriving onto the scene, after seeing Elizabeth clearly with child, Mary burst out into song, which really shouldn't be a surprise to us at this point after looking at all of the Psalms over the last several weeks. And so for the next few moments, there are three things that I want you to see about God as we look at Mary's song together. So the first thing that we see in Mary's song is God's favor. Let's look at the first half of verse 48 again. It says, "He has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant." So the first thing that we see is God's favor. Now, why did God choose Mary to be the mother of Jesus? Was it because Mary was great? Well, what we do know is that Mary was humble. How do we know that Mary was humble? Because she told us that she was humble in her song. Now, I own a book about humility. It's in my office. And in this book, the author talks about how it seems almost contradictory for the author of a book to not only talk about humility, but claim to be an expert on humility. However, as we look at Mary's words here, we believe that Mary was inspired by God. And so we believe Mary's words here. We believe that she was a humble servant of the Lord. And I believe that her humble condition that we see here, that it describes both the condition of her heart, but it also describes the condition of her circumstances. She didn't have an extravagant lifestyle. God didn't send Jesus into this world to be born in a palace to a king. No, he chose a humble girl in humble circumstances to become the mother of Jesus. So, Mary was humble, but by the world's standards, Mary was not great. And this is good news for us because this gives us a great reminder that God's favor is not the result of our greatness. God's favor is the result of His greatness. God certainly used Mary's humility and her humble circumstances to accomplish His purpose and His plan in bringing Jesus into this world to be our Savior. But ultimately, Mary was not the star of the show. God was. And so God didn't choose Mary because Mary was great. He chose Mary because He is great. God's favor is not the result of our greatness. God's favor is the result of His greatness. And if you're here today and you would say that you are trying to prove your worthiness to God in order for Him to save you, or you're trying to prove your worthiness to God in order for Him to use you, let me encourage you today, simply humble yourself before the Lord. God is great on His own. He doesn't need you to prove your worthiness to Him in order for Him to save you or in order for Him to use you. God is great enough to accomplish those things on His own. You simply need to submit yourself humbly before Him. And when you humble yourself before Him and He saves you, or when you humble yourself before Him and He uses you in spite of you, you get to experience something truly great. You get to experience God's grace. Understand, God's favor is a result of God's grace. It's not something He gives out because we earn it. It's not something He gives out because we deserve it. God simply gives His grace out because He desires to do so. God's favor is a result of God's grace. And as we see God's favor poured out on Mary here, we are reminded once again of just how great our God truly is. So the first thing we see is God's favor. The second thing we see is God's fairness. Let's look at the first half of verse 51 again. It says, "He has done a mighty deed with His arm." So the second thing we see is God's fairness. Now, as we talk about God's fairness, really we're talking about fairness from a human perspective, because we've talked about in the past how if God were to truly do things fair from his perspective, not a single one of us would have a chance. We get to experience God's fairness because of God's grace and because of God's favor. And as we think about this phrase, mighty deed with his arm, it bears the weight of both strength and fairness. It's the arm of both a mighty warrior and a powerful judge. With his arm, he can wipe out his enemies, and with his arm, he can also swing the gavel of justice. And so Mary recognized that in choosing her to be the mother of Jesus, he scattered the proud. Because certainly by man's standards, Mary would not be the one to be chosen to be the Messiah's mother. Rather, it was expected that the Messiah was going to come in some grandiose way, that he was going to be born with great riches and great power, and he was going to be a political figure to overthrow the powers that be at that time. But that's not how Jesus came into this world. That wasn't Jesus's focus. Why? Because Jesus didn't come for an earthly throne. Jesus came for an eternal kingdom. Hear that again. Jesus didn't come for an earthly throne. Jesus came for an eternal kingdom. And the good news is that in God's fairness, those who humble themselves, not the proud, but those who humble themselves are the ones who are able to experience God's kingdom, that we're able to participate in God's kingdom. And so it's not the proud who seek out a kingdom for themselves who are able to experience this kingdom of God. Rather, it is those who humbly submit themselves before the Lord who are able to experience this kingdom. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for those who pursue his kingdom, we're told in verse 53 that they are satisfied. Hear God's fairness in this. He scatters the proud. He satisfies the humble. And so I would invite you this morning, be satisfied by Jesus. Ultimately, the things that we pursue in our own pride, they will never satisfy us. But when we are satisfied by Jesus, we are satisfied for good. So today, be satisfied by Jesus. So we see God's favor and we see God's fairness. Third and finally, we see God's faithfulness. Let's look at verses 54 through 55 again. It says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. So we see God's faithfulness. If you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear this. We serve a faithful God. He was faithful. He is faithful. He will always be faithful. We serve a faithful God. God has been proving his faithfulness to us from the beginning of time. And Jesus coming into this world, being born in a manger, going to a cross to die for our sins, and raising again, that is God's faithfulness on full display for all to see. While Mary didn't know until the angel came to tell her that she was going to be the one chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, she certainly knew that the Messiah would one day come. She knew this because of the prophecy. She knew this because a covenant had been made with Abraham and his descendants. And so Mary knew that when the angel told her that she was going to be pregnant with Jesus, that this was a fulfillment of the covenant that was made with Abraham all those years earlier. Mary knew that this was God's faithfulness showed to Abraham's descendants. And while it may have taken years and years, decades upon decades to fulfill his promise to his people, God was faithful to fulfill it. God had not forgotten his promise. Rather, instead, God remembered his mercy. So let me say it again. We serve a faithful God. And if you've given your life to Christ, then you are experiencing the faithfulness of God. You get to share in the faithfulness of God today. Mary experienced the Lord's faithfulness, and she couldn't help but sing about it. Three things that we see in Mary's song: God's favor, God's fairness, and God's faithfulness. Now, as we get ready to close, I want to take you back up to verse 44, to Mary's encounter with Elizabeth. In verse 44, we're told that when Mary entered Elizabeth's house, Mary pregnant with Jesus and Elizabeth pregnant with John, when Mary entered Elizabeth's house, the baby inside of Elizabeth leapt for joy. John leapt for joy inside of Elizabeth. I want you to think about that for a moment. A baby recognizing the presence of his Savior responded in the womb. Today, as we have looked at God's Word, I believe we have experienced the presence of God in this place. And if John can respond to Jesus in the womb, how much more can we respond to Jesus in this room this morning? And if you need to respond to Jesus, then I want to give you the opportunity to do so. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we do, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is the Lord is doing in your life this morning. Maybe you're here today and you would say that you've never put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ, the one that entered this world all those years ago so that he could die on a cross for your sins. And he rose again 3 days later. If you've never put your trust in Jesus, but today you're ready to do that, then I would invite you to respond. As we sing, I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today can be the day of your salvation. Today, Jesus can be your Lord. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. Jesus is my Lord, but I've never taken that next step to be baptized, to publicly profess my faith in Christ through baptism. If you've never taken that step, but you're ready to, then I'd love to talk with you as well. Come talk with me. Let's pray. Today, we can make that commitment together. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I believe God's calling me to make this my church home, to unite my life with this body of believers, to be on mission with this body here in Stockdale. If God's calling you to become a member of First Baptist Church Stockdale, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.